Sportscast, May 15th, 2020. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, Periscope, YouTube, and iTunes. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, for the latest in sports news. Today's sponsor is Insta Bible app. Create verses and pictures. You could get the Insta Bible app in the iOS App Store. Sports resumes this weekend after being stalled for almost 2 months. The Bundesliga, German soccer league, and racing in the States with NASCAR as sports slowly returns. And joining us today, Kailu Borden, all the way from New York City. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you.
Kailu, what's up in New York? How is the whole situation with COVID?
It's getting better in terms of, like, the number of hospitalization rate. The numbers are dropping. There's still concerns about the impact on children, Kawasaki, and on small children in terms of other age groups, but it's getting better.
Let's begin the show. NASCAR, the starting lineup for Sunday's The Real Heroes 400 Cup Series, NASCAR Cup Series race at Darlington Raceway this weekend, Sunday at 3:30 p.m. on Big Fox has been set. Brett Keselowski will start on the pole and joined by Alex Bowman on front row to lead the field to green from 293 lap. 400-mile race, the sport's first since March 8th at Phoenix Raceway due to the COVID-19 stoppage. Kailu, what are you expecting with NASCAR this weekend?
I'm expecting it to go smoothly because NASCAR is a solo sport with the drivers. Other than the pit crew, as long as they're able to social distance them and find a technical them, I expect it to go smooth because NASCAR is one of those sports where it's only one person and you're driving in the car. So out of all the other sports and golf, those sports could figure out a way to make it work. So I'm not really surprised that they're able to make it work because that's a sport where you can see social distancing.
Yeah, and a lot of the crew members are wearing helmets or wearing masks already. So it's a very, very protective type of sport. Of course, there'll be no fans at this raceway, but it's okay. It'll be on big TV as well. The favorite is Kyle Busch to win it. Also second is Hamlin, his second favorite, Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex Jr. So those are the top four for NASCAR. And it'll be this Sunday at 3 p.m. on Big Fox. Also another sport on Fox to be is the Bundesliga, the German soccer league, will be the first of the major European soccer leagues to return after sports around the world shut down in mid-March because of the spread of the novel coronavirus. Not only will officials of the English Premier League, Spain La Liga, and Italy's Serie A monitor the game's continual return, but leagues in the U.S. likely also will be watching closely as the Bundesliga provides a possible course of action for team sports to return. Kailu Borden, what are your thoughts about Bundesliga returning?
I don't really know much about the league, but I'm just excited that they returned. I don't really follow the Bundesliga.
Borussia Dortmund will be facing FC Schalke 04. That'll be the first game on Fox Sports 1. And then on the same time on Fox Sports 2 will be RB Leipzig versus SC Freiburg. Of course, what do you think, NFL and the NBA we'll be looking at for this soccer league? Of course, it's kind of similar. You know, a lot of players on the field. What do you think they want to see?
I think the NFL, I think it's too early for the NFL. For us, I think it's too early for them. I think for them, they got a game plan as there's going to be a season because it's May and they have hired jobs and, you know, things. So they have to prepare as if there's going to be a season because the worst is not being prepared for a season. I think the NFL has a little way to go. Closer than we think because it's already May and September and training camp starting in July. So I think they have a little way to go. But I think the officials should definitely prepare as if there's going to be a season and adjust on the fly. I think in terms of the NBA, some days I feel warm about them coming back and I hear CJ McCollum's comments. And then other days I really doubt if there's going to be games. And then some days I feel optimistic. that there's going to be games.
But what do you think, like, the NBA and the NFL will be looking at the Bundesliga? Like, do you think they'll look at, like, the ways they operate, like, at the on bench, how do the players behave? What do you think they're really looking for when they see these leagues starting early?
I don't really know much about the Bundesliga, but what I can say, I think they'll be looking at, in terms of the NBA, because I think it's closer, in terms of the NBA, I think they could possibly look at how to, like, keep the benches apart, the water cooler. I saw in baseball where everyone might have to have a different water cooler, so in terms of that, the locker rooms, how the players in the locker room, the all the common areas that they share in the locker room. So definitely making sure that is secure and safe for all the players if they're able to play. So the locker room, keeping players safe on the court or the field. And then three, making sure that the support staff, like the training staff and all the necessary staff is safe.
I agree totally with Kailu. In soccer, it's 11 versus 11. A lot of physical contact in soccer, of course, similar to the NBA, of course, with the NFL. So we'll see how things are going with these leagues and how they maintain themselves and how would they react in certain situations. So this is definitely, they are the guinea pigs when it comes to contact sport. Of course, in golf and NASCAR, you don't have that much contact, but soccer is a very contact sport and the first to come back in the major sports leagues. NBA teams will withhold more than $30 million from player paychecks on Friday, today, as players receive their first reduction in their pay wage since the league and union agreed to a plan to temporarily cut pay by 25%. Kailu has come to this. What are your thoughts?
I don't think it's a big deal because most of the top players like LeBron, Steph and those guys have been paid all their salary. And for the lower-end guys, they're going to miss. But everybody's missing out. The Lakers owners are missing out. Players are going to have to miss out. And I haven't read too much, like, of the CBA, but I think they'll get it back over next year or possibly it's just thing. And most of the players have already been paid 90% of that salary, so I don't really make too much of it.
Like Kailu was saying, but six of the NBA's top 10 earners this season, LeBron James, Stephen Curry, John Wall, Blake Griffin, Kevin Durant, and Paul George have already been paid in full and will not see a pay decrease today. Their salary reductions will come out of their advances for the 2021 season on October 1st or beginning with their November 15th paychecks. Each player will essentially have an IOU per paycheck to his team ranging from $300,000 to $420,000 each time there's a scheduled 25% pay reduction. The amount will increase if games are eventually canceled because of the coronavirus pandemic. So what are your thoughts about that?
I think that it's good for players because, like, some of the smaller players are not the players that are making top tier money. So I think it sucks for all of them. I think it sucks for the players that are not going to make as much. So LeBron James of the world, they're going to lose, but for the most part, you know, they're going to be fine. But, like, it sucks for the owners, and it just sucks for all parties because all parties are going to have to lose money. So it just sucks.
Sticking with the NBA, Kailu, what have you heard about the return of the season? What have you heard lately?
I think the NBA has a bunch of ideas. One of them is the East playing in Orlando. Another one is the West possibly playing Las Vegas. But in terms of, like, when they're going to, like, play games, I mean, I heard, like, the season may think about it on, like, the next 2 weeks. And, like, by June, like, come to some type of decision. But I don't expect the NBA to make a decision before June. And unlike the MLB, I don't expect the players to come out and say anything. And I know they had the poll. I didn't really make too much of the players' poll. It was just to gauge the interest to see if the player's going to come back or not. But I still think the NBA has a long way to go in the uphill battle, fortunately, to come
back. Which a lot of the fans are saying, just, you know, let's just not return and just wait till next season.
But even that's hard because the NBA is looking at some point, at least you could, if there's no perfect solution, I've always said, but at least for the players, like, if they can get some type of closure for this season And next year, they don't even know what next year is going to be like. There's some teams that are going to have to start without fans. And especially when Kobe Bryant died and David Stern died, they're trying as much clothes as they can. Also, there's the first top three seeds. They're not going to be closure for those teams. And there's also a lot of, if you don't get a champion this year and you can't have fans next year, because who knows when a vaccine's coming. You know, the scientists are doing very amazing work, but even that's no promise. So if you don't get a champion this year and next year you might have to start without fans, you're going to be losing a lot of money.
Thousands of dollars are definitely going to be lost, maybe in the millions. NCAA, college sports will not resume until all students are back on campus, NCAA President Mark Emmert said on Friday. Speaking on the NCAA's Twitter feed regarding the start of college athletics amid the coronavirus pandemic, Emmert dismissed any notion of sports restarting before classrooms reopen. College athletes are college students, and you can't have college sports if you don't have college campuses open and having students on them, Emmert said. You don't want to ever put student athletes at greater risk than the rest of the student body. Kailu, should college sports be on pause if the campuses are not open?
It's tough to like really say yes and no to the NBA. Your Korean college football is so finite. And although I agree with Mark Emmert, let's just see how the Power Five conferences are going to react, because they're all their own conference. And the SEC, you know, unfortunately, they're going to want to play games. And this is where it sucks, because in college football, there's not one central voice thinking one central thing. And I think it's going to be a situation where, you know, there's no way the players could possibly think about playing when they're not getting, when there's going to be no students there, and they consider them student athletes, but they're going to possibly be there without saying. And I've never thought they were student athletes to begin with, but they are going to be, you know, on campus, you know, taking advantage of playing for free. And, you know, the owners are going to be, not the owners, but the coach is going to be making $9+ million. I've thought that, you know, college football this year, out of all the sports leagues, I think the college sports are going to have more of a tough time playing, because in pro football and pro sports, there's a union. So even though sometimes all the players don't agree, at least there's that central voice. And with the commissioner, it makes it a lot easier, because in college football, you have all these different thoughts and ideas and all the conferences. And especially with the California extending their lockdown, who knows? There's like a lot of different college football and college basketball teams in California. So they're not going to be able to possibly play, or they're going to have to relocate. So I think it makes it tough for the college teams to play more than the pro teams.
Emmert added of Division I universities, all of the commissioners and every president that I've talked to is clear. It is in clear agreement. If you don't have students on campus, you don't have student athletes on campus. And I agree with Kailu. It's very complicated. NCAA is very similar to the NBA. It's very complex. There's a lot of conferences. There's a lot of students. There's a lot of variables involved. But it feels like the SEC is like ready to play. Soon. What do you think about that?
I think that's because, not to get too much in the thing, but the SEC, Alabama, if you look at states like that, those tend to be governors that are a little more conservative, where they're a little more relaxed on restrictions. So I think that's where it tends to be, because a lot of people fear the second wave. That's why I think the SEC is the conference that wants to play. Not to say it's wrong, because I don't think that there's a perfect solution, because again, if you shut it down, careers are so finite, and you think about athletes, that's why they're not quick to postpone seasons. And LeBron James himself, even though he's so great and so great, this is 17th year, and there's only so many bites you have at the apple. But again, if you play, there's that risk of contracting it too. And although young people aren't mostly affected by it, now there's been young people that's been tremendously impacted by it. But for the overall science of it, it mostly affects older people. So there's still a lot of risk, and, you know, players, either way, it's going to be tough either way to come to a decision, and I don't expect for it to be like 100%.
We could see a SEC-only conference games. I mean, could that possibly happen?
it could possibly happen. I don't rule it out, but I don't think it's going to happen because I don't think that the other – I don't think that it would be smart for the NCAA to personally allow it.
Yeah, NCAA does have the final say. Former Major League Baseball All-Starer Bob Watson, who went on to become the first black general manager in history to win a World Series, has died today at the age of 74. Watson died Thursday at his home in Houston after a long battle with kidney disease, according to the Houston Astros. This is a very sad day for the Astros and for all baseball, the Astros said in the statement. Bob Watson enjoyed a unique and remarkable career in Major League Baseball that spanned six decades, reaching success at many levels, including as a player, coach, general manager, and a MLB executive. Kailu, do you remember anything with Bob Watson?
I studied it before the show to get ready. Like, he was a really, really good GM. He was the first black general manager to win a World Series. He made the All-Star team in 73 and 75. He had over 304 times and drove at least 100 runs twice. He was in the middle of the Astros lineup, and he was just a really highly accomplished baseball player. He played for the Red Sox in 79. He played for the Yankees in 80 to 82. He played for the Braves 82 to 84. He finished with a .295 batting average, 184 home runs, 989 RBIs, 371 in 17 postseason games. With the Astros, like you said, he had .297, 139 homers, 782 RBIs. He was just a really good baseball mind. He overcame prostate cancer in 94, and he ended up living in 2020. He lived a really, really long life, you would say, 74, and it just, like, sucks, and my thoughts and prayers go out to his wife and his immediate family and family.
Bob Watson was also a Yankee, so he shares a lot of similar he shares a interest with you.
Yeah, he was a really, really, really good Yankee.
Well, he also served as a vice president in charge of discipline and vice president for rules and on-field operations until 2010. RAP Bob Watson and his family's condolences. Baseball legend. A Yankee legend, you would think?
Yeah, I agree.
Jonathan Taylor, who was selected number 41 overall in the second round of the 2020 NFL draft by the Colts, officially signed his rookie contract on Friday today per a release from the team. He's making over $8 million over 4 years with $3.2 million signing bonus. Kailu, did he have a good contract?
Nothing to really say because the rookie contract is basically where you're slotted. So, you know, he's going to be earning a lot of money his first couple years in the NFL, so it's a good thing.
More Colts news. They announced they signed, gave a contract to Jacob Eason, inked with the Wisconsin, as well with Eason. He's projected to be making $4 million, including a bonus of almost $100,000. The state predicted that the Eason's cap number for the first year will be slightly under $800,000. Jacob Eason, a third, second string quarterback for the Colts.
What do you say?
Is Eason for the Colts will be a second or third string quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts?
I think he's going to be a third personally because with Phillip Rivers, I don't think that they're – I think they'll carry – I think depending on the way their roster construction, the way Chris Ballard, their GM, wants them to be, I think they'll end up keeping three quarterbacks considering that Phillip Rivers is a backup and they want to make the playoffs this year in the AFC South, which is going to be kind of competitive, kind of mediocre. But in that division, they're going to want to keep a more established backup. So I think they'll probably have him be the third string quarterback.
First official reaction from Aaron Rodgers about the Packers taking Jordan Love. He said to a group of reporters, the general reaction at first was a surprise. Like many people, not going to say I was thrilled by the pick necessarily, but I understand the organization is not thinking just about the present, but the future, and I respect that. Do you believe them?
Yeah, I believe them because I think it's natural for him to feel that way, and I don't think that I think he's going to get blown out of proportion on Monday, but he's right. I mean, anytime someone drops as your successor, you understand it from a football and a business perspective, but you still are not going to like it because you still expect to play 4 to 5 more years of your career. But at the same time, as a business standpoint, you understand. But as a person, a human, someone's come for your job, you know, in 3 years, of course, you're not going to necessarily like it if you think you can play longer than that.
The difference between Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre, that Brett Favre was hinting retirement back then, but Aaron Rodgers hasn't hinted anything about retirement. But do you think the team is seeing something on their end that maybe this guy is peaking physically, or do you think he's on his way out? Or
no, I don't think that they. I don't think that they think he's on his way out. I just think it's better to draft the quarterback that you're in love with, especially if you're going to be in the playoffs, and he could groom behind Rodgers and to set up your next 15 years. I think it's always better to like try. If you can identify a quarterback and you're going to make the playoffs, and you don't have a lot of needs. Green Bay did have a couple of needs that they still need to address. Hopefully they could address by training camp, and some players get, you know, there's still some players left that, you know, had to get cut or released that we could get another receiver or two. But if you can get a quarterback at that position, especially thing and sit him behind Rodgers, I don't always think it's a bad thing because it's always better to draft something that, you know, can help you going forward. And then if you develop early, you can trade him for something you need. You can trade him for a championship, and for him, he can go somewhere else and start. But I think for us, he can sit and learn behind Rodgers. And if, you know, Rodgers has longer on the leash, then we can always trade him. And first-round quarterbacks, as we know, are always valuable in the league. And there's always going to be 5 or 6 teams that are always looking to move up on their quarterback.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers will be that quarterback that will mentor Jordan Love? Or do you think he'll do much, you know, to groom him up to be the Packers starter?
No, I definitely agree. Unlike the media, I agree. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to mentor him to actually be a good thing. I know there's a lot of, like, he doesn't really like it, but I think it's a natural feeling. I think we mistake it. When someone's going to come for your job in 3 years and you think you can play 5 years and you think you're still performing at a high level and you went 13-3 and you came with the NFC Championship, Aaron Rodgers is like, I understand it from a business standpoint, but he also feels like the human competitive nature in him feels like he's still got 5 more years, but he also understands that at the same time as a business standpoint because he got hurt 2 of the last 3 seasons. So he understands it from that standpoint, but he also feels like, I'm not done yet, Green Bay. I still have 3 or 4 more years, you know. I just coming off the NFC Championship game. Give me a receipt.
How long do you think Aaron has left?
I think he has 3 to 4 more good years at his prime, possibly get another 2 Super Bowl or 2 by the end of his career, you know, relying more on the defense than the top 8 made it. But I definitely think he's got 3 or 4 more good years.
You think the Packers should have
adequate weapons?
You think the Packers should have went hard with wide receivers?
No, I think that the fact that they didn't draft a single receiver in the 7th round and all 7 rounds, I think that was just really bad. I think they passed on over 25-plus receivers. So I don't think that was the necessary great look for them. The fact that they couldn't get one receiver, this is a receiver late in draft. They're going to rely on Devin Funches, their number 2, which I think he's more like a number 3, maybe special teams. And they're going to hopefully the other young kids develop and continue to develop. But at a playoff level, you're going to need established receivers. Unless those guys prove in the regular season that they're going to be clutch in the playoffs, like you're going to need, outside of Devontae Adams, he's fine. He's flipped at number 1. He's fine. But outside of that, you're going to need a number 2, especially when you're going against the Saints and teams like the Buccaneers and all those other good teams in the NFC. You're going to need a legit number 2 receiver.
Yeah, and, you know, Aaron Rodgers should be concerned because, obviously, the Packers traded up to get Jordan Love. So they really...
It's not even that they traded up to get Jordan Love, because I could see if they got that pick and in the 2nd round they said, we're going to go receiver. Because there were a lot of receivers in the 2nd round. There were tons of receivers in this class. This class was very deep, but they didn't even do that. So it's like you went all 7 rounds without taking a single receiver, and then your 2nd round and 3rd round pick weren't a receiver, and you could have replaced the inside linebacker position, and you didn't do that, you know? It's not even that they drafted Jordan Love. It's more that, you know, because he's still a project. He's got a ways to go, but it's more that they didn't get a receiver in the whole 7 rounds.
You think this parallels with the New York Giants drafting Oh my God, Danny
Jones.
Danny Jones. Yes, my mind slipped there.
No, I don't think. I think there's no comparison at all because the Giants are in a different situation. The Giants, you know, they've been one of the worst three teams in football the last 4 or 5 years. Ever since they're on, even going back further than that, but let's just say 4 or 5 years for the sake of like being nice to the Giants. You know, it doesn't correlate to Danny Jones because they needed to draft a quarterback. They, you know, Eli Manning was clearly in decline 4 years before that. So they clearly needed a quarterback. They clearly needed a rebuild. They clearly needed pieces in the offensive line. So Green Bay has always been competitive for the last 10 years, but the Giants haven't. So I don't see no correlation between them and Green Bay.
We'll see what happens when the Packers tackle this season with a tough Tampa Bay Saints, a loaded NFC. Got a little bit heavier with Brady and Gronk joining the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But looking forward to what Green Bay does. Of course, they got Aaron Jones and, of course, the GOAT. They call him Aaron Rodgers. He's in the GOAT category, for according to a few fans out there, or a lot of fans, depends who you ask. But anyways, are you ready for some predictions and polls?
Yeah, go ahead.
Borussia Dortmund versus Schalke 04 Bundesliga, Kailu. Just pick one team.
Dortmund.
Borussia Dortmund. That's a good pick, by the way. They are the our second in the German Bundesliga, the German league. And NASCAR, who will win between Kyle Busch, Hamlin, Harvick, Truex Jr.? Who will win between those four? Those are the top four that Vegas is ranking.
Can you repeat it again?
Kyle Busch, Hamlin, Kevin Harvick, or Martin Truex Jr.?
I'm going to go Kyle Busch. I'm definitely going to stay with Kyle Busch.
That's a good pick. That's the safest pick. We'll see how it goes on this weekend. And poll question on Twitter, who has been portrayed the most negatively in The Last Dance? The choices are Jerry Cross, Isaiah Thomas, or Scottie Pippen.
This one's really, really hard if you think about it. I was thinking about Scottie Pippen. But I can see where Scottie Pippen's come from. Although it was the best decision to come out and not come in, you know, when they had to play for the Tony Kukos, although it wasn't the best decision, I can see what he's thinking and saying. Because if you would have took care of your players, although it was selfish, the act was selfish, if they would have took care of him originally, even though he signed that, you could always renegotiate. But I'm going to go with Jerry Krause from the standpoint that he's not here to defend himself. At least Scottie Pippen, although he hasn't defended himself and made any comments, you know, publicly and going any shows, I'm going to go with Jerry Krause from the simple fact that he's not here to defend himself. And he had many great trades, typing Phil Jackson, that from being the bench to being the head time coach. So he had many really good moves and really good acquisitions, trading Horace Grant. So I'm going to go with Jerry Krause because he's not here to defend himself. And also, his career is underrated as a gentleman. Although he didn't draft Michael Jordan, he put the rest of the team together, and that's very important.
Yeah, and I believe I was reading that he was mostly a baseball scout, so that was most of his career. The poll has Jerry Krause winning at 50%, Isaiah Thomas at 30%, and Scottie Pippen at 20%. So Scottie Pippen is looking good. Even though Scottie Pippen, everyone loves him, but the documentary does have some negative points a little bit. But there's some positive points about Scottie Pippen, you know? I mean, I'm seeing that without Scottie, I don't think Michael would have easily won a championship.
No, I think that Michael Jordan actually is very appreciative of Scottie, and I think they both agreed that without each other, they both wouldn't have won. Because if you look at LeBron's career, the only finals I ever hold against, 2011 finals, in his first stint in Cleveland, the management's kind of poor. Even when he came back, he did that more for the city than the owner. But even in his career, I think although you're all-time great and you're really, really great, you still need the records and parts around you to be able to catapult you and put you over the top. Because you may be really, 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 really great, but you still need those pieces to be able to put you over the top.
And there you have it. Last poll question. What goes best with chocolate chips, Kailu? Cookies, muffins, ice cream, or banana nut bread?
I'm going to go with – I can say cookies, but I'm going to go with ice cream.
Ice.
Can't do wrong with ice cream, especially when it's hot outside.
Cookies is winning at 45%, muffins at 19%, ice cream at 18%, and tied with banana nut bread at 18%. So Muffins, ice cream, and banana bread are kind of shooting for that second place spot, but Cookies is way way ahead. I suspect that Cookies will win this poll very soon. Kailu Borden, what is the best way to reach you online?
You can reach me at KailuBorden12 on both Twitter and Instagram.
And you can reach us at thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or on Twitter at thesportscast1. Kailu will be in charge of our Instagram at thesportscast1, so we'll be posting some stories there because everyone's on Instagram these days. And The Last Dance this Sunday night, the last two episodes, 9 and 10. We're going to see Jordan and the Bulls take on the Pacers, then go to the finals. Kailu, what are you looking forward to these final two episodes?
I'm looking forward to seeing them close out with Jordan and some of the overarching takeaways that people come from on Monday.
Yes, and I'm going to look at what's going to happen after they win the championship. Was there any like last-minute decisions of staying with the Bulls or not? I'm looking forward to that, but maybe it just ends with them winning at Utah. So we'll see what happens. Kailu, sports is coming back this weekend. I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Appreciate it.